Adam Voigt is a former principal and is now CEO of Real Schools and joins us now. Adam, thank you very much for joining the program. You've seen the video. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think my reaction probably echoes Andrew's in that it's really hard to watch. It's really hard to see young people doing that to each other. And I think with the citizen hat on, you just sort of want really strong action and strong support put in place for the school. And I want to, I guess, in a lot of ways, echo what Andrew's saying. This is the time not to blame anybody at the school. It's a really important time to get our supports in place because people who are interested in education will notice that there's a lot more of this happening at the moment in schools right around Australia. And it's time to support them in a new and in a different way, because the model that we had for trying to prevent kids getting to this level of frequency and severity has let us down, and we need to work differently in order to, you know, have less of these incidents coming on, and hopefully to have less really serious and critical incidents like this happen too.
So, Adam, new and different way. What does that look like?
So if you think about a young person who makes a mistake and who you know does the wrong thing in the yard, and I'm not talking about something as serious as this, but let's say they swear at a teacher or at another pupil, and if our default mechanisms are all around, you know, saying rightio, we need to punish that person, and we pop them into a couple of days of detention. What happens in that detention? What we know about the thought processes of kids in that detention is that they tend to plot revenge. They're thinking of ways either about how they can get back at the people who put them in there or how they could get better at not getting caught next time.
What
we do over time is we raise kids who are better liars and are a bit more devious, and that's actually not what we want. When we apply like a judicial kind of system to a school, which should be a learning system, we skip the chance to teach them. We skip the chance to help that kid, for instance, who's sworn at a teacher. Where's the opportunity for them to make amends? Where's the practice for them to be able to take responsibility? And what we need to do is to, you know, actually see incidents like this as a little canary in the coal mine in a lot of ways and say, actually, let's change the way that we're growing our kids and let's start to, you know, use some practices that give them the chance to learn things like responsibility and empathy.
What do you think is stemming these problems with our children? We're just seeing them so angry, so aggro, and feeling that it's okay just to lash out like this.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? And I think Andrew did touch on a really important point about the interruption of COVID, that teachers around the country are reporting to me that, for instance, after lunch, that's wasteland time, that, you know, the kids have lost their kind of fitness to be able to get through the day. And they've also lost practice around being able to kind of cooperate and collaborate effectively, and particularly when they're in a little bit of competition, even like a game or something like that, that they can't handle it if they lose a game of four square, and they just don't have those patterns practiced like they used to. So we need to afford our schools a little bit of time, and we need to afford our schools really good systems that kind of teach the kids slowly how to get that stuff right, because unless we do, all our big conversations around learning loss and, you know, catching up academically are going to be wasted, because you just can't learn effectively if you're constantly in conflict, if you're in fear, if you're in shame and embarrassment about the things that you've done wrong and you haven't fixed it up. There's too much negative emotion in our classrooms at the moment, and we need to support schools with systems that flip that around.
Does the word resilience come into it, teaching kids resilience at a young age and learning, you know, how to have those failures and learning to make mistakes and grow from them and learning to deal with your temper and aggro? Like, is it intervening at a young age?
Yeah, it really is. And so from an early age, we can learn that resilience, what's it all about? Resilience, for me, I think the best definition is to be able to thrive despite risk.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for us who are parents and for us who are educators as well is that we've got to provide the risk. So we've got to provide little moments that it's just a little hard for kids. We've got to get them used to struggle. We just got to be there by their side, encouraging them to get through it, because unless they get the thrill of overcoming some struggle, they can't develop resilience. And we find kids who, for instance, might be able to be resilient. Every educator, every teacher knows a kid who would finish a game of football with a broken ankle, but who loses the plot if you put fractions in front of them. So they haven't learned how to move their resilience from place to place yet.
Yeah.
And what we need is kids who can do that, because eventually that's what the workforce is going to require of them.
That's right. And you can't just, you know, explode. You know, you've got to deal with those little troubles along the way and not let it, you know, get to a point where you just can't handle things. Do you think teachers need special training to deal with attacks? You mentioned that you're seeing more and more around Australia. Is there enough support? Do teachers need special training?
I absolutely think teachers need really specialised training in a couple of things. One is how to create environments where kids are less likely to get to that point and where they grow stronger emotionally and socially. Mm. They need help to be able to resolve conflict effectively and to help kids get to the other side of wrongdoing without walking away feeling like they're shameful, in shame, or that they're awful. Mm. And they definitely need a little bit of help for when these moments come along about this is how to intervene. I feel so sorry for any teacher that might have been near that incident. I've been in that situation, and I know that what you feel at the time is fear. And when we get that, we get, you know, fight or flight or freeze. And it's so hard to be able to strategize at that point. So we need to help our teachers with that moment too.
Following this incident, how does it need to be dealt with? Because the follow-up to this will be so important for everybody involved. I feel for the parents, of course, the poor girl that's, you know, in hospital that was in this attack. I mean, you know, and then you've got to talk to the person that did it. Why? What's the problem going on, you know, that led you to this point to attack? Like, there's just so many victims involved with this.
Yeah, there's no winners, is there?
No.
And unfortunately, when we do get to the point where it's a judicial problem because the police are involved now, there will be a judicial response, and that's probably the right thing to happen. But it's not okay for all of us to kind of just dust our hands off and say, oh, good, she got appropriately punished.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is step back and say, okay, so this is a young person that's been in schooling for about 10 years of her life. You know, what are the factors that have led up to her getting to 15 years of age and not actually being able to control herself in that moment, of her thinking that that's an appropriate way to deal with something that's not going right? And can we start to help our schools to be able to build those systems where kids do learn those skills so that they don't make a mistake that is going to affect two lives in this instance in particular, let alone their families, for the rest of their days? It's important work, and schools have influence of about 20-30%, we think, on our kids' social and emotional development. We've got to take that 20-30% really seriously.
And then the focus is on this poor girl who now, I mean, who knows what the fallout with her is going to be, whether, you know, she's going to be feeling safe to go back to school or, you know, or mental, physical. The repercussions of this victim could go on for years and years and years.
Yeah, they can. And so that's why we have to get to work on it now. We have too many incidents where we, you know, like I said, we sort of dust our hands sometimes and say, oh, good, this girl got punished, but that actually doesn't help the victim.
No.
You know, and so if there are factors that can be put in place that would help her to be able to feel safe going back to school, then we have to do that. If there's counselling that she requires, then we have to do that comprehensively to make sure that she can get on with her education and indeed get on with her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really important. And then what we might like to do is say, you know what, what if we provide those sort of services to the young woman who's made a really awful mistake in this situation too?
Mm-hmm.
Can we stop that life being a wasted one as well? And can we stop her having this sort of destructive impact on other people as well? We might feel the need to get really punitive at this point, not necessarily the right thing to do.
Adam, great advice. Really nice chat. Thank you. Adam Voigt, their founder and CEO of Real Schools. We're going